Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added in them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, departed them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love. I'm thankful that you've let me live another day, and that I might use this day for your honor and glory, and that we could assemble together here as a New Testament Baptist church. Now, Lord, you know what you have in store for us as we go into the Word of God and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And there are those here that are not saved. We pray, Father, that it would please you, that you might open their hearts, and they might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, there are those of us that are saved, and we have special needs this morning. We need to be encouraged. We need to be edified and built up in faith. We need words of comfort. And Lord, we know that consolation comes from you and from your word. So help us, Lord, to turn our minds and our thoughts from the world, and help them, Lord, to stay them upon thee this morning and upon thy word. And may the Holy Spirit lead and guide us, Lord, as we go into the Word of God. Now I pray for these that we've requested prayer for. Some, Lord, is sick, and some are even dead. We pray for their families. We pray, Father, that you'd bless them in a special way. We know that you are the great comforter. We So now, Father, I do pray that you would forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. Five marks of a good church member. If you were to write down five marks or five qualities of a good church member, what would you write down? I'm just sort of putting this question to you to get you to think. Think about it. Well, you don't have to be saved to be a church member. I mean, you have to be saved to be a church member, but you don't have to be a church member to be saved. Let me say that. Correct that on the tape, please. Let me get that right. I'm thinking ahead. You don't have to be a member of the Lord's church to be saved. You don't have to be. But I believe it's important to be in one of the Lord's churches. Now, we're teaching that in Sunday school. And if you'll notice, it says two things in these verses that I read, the last verse, especially if you look at verse 41. Now look at it. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now what I want you to see, that not only did the Lord save them, but the Lord added them to the church there at Jerusalem. About 3,000. Now, it's a marvelous thing when the Lord saves anybody. And I have to say, and I believe you'd acknowledge, it's a blessing. It's a blessing any time the Lord saves any person. But it's also a great blessing when He saves them and then He adds them to one of His churches. If you look in verse 47, he says, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now look at this. Here's a real simple biblical lesson that I want us to be able to see, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us this. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, the lesson that I want us to see here is, who added these people to the church? Did the church add them? No. Did they add themselves? No. Did somebody else add them to the church? No. Who added them? I believe even the smallest child can come up here, perhaps with that can read, can come up with the answer as to who it was that added them to church. Who was it? And the Lord. Now keep that in mind. And I believe that's. You say, well, I know that. Well, thank God. Praise the Lord if you know that. Are you convicted of it? I mean, there's a difference in knowing it and being convicted of it. Having it is a conviction. I told a Sunday school class this morning when we were talking about the offices of a church and how I didn't like to be called reverend. You know, there's the title of elder and there's the title of bishop. It's in the Bible and the Word of God. And how I said that, a lot of times people will say, oh, yeah, this is what our church believes, or this is what Brother Harvey believes. But it's a lot different when you say, this is what I believe. Because you have some conviction. And I believe here's one thing that we ought to be convicted of. It is the Lord that adds to His church. I don't add myself. You don't add yourself. The church don't add you. The Lord adds you. Now I believe there's times people join the church. They join themselves to the church. But the Lord didn't add them. There's a difference when we can say that I have joined one of the Lord's churches because the Lord added me, and that's where the Lord wants me to be. There's a tremendous difference.
than saying, now I joined so-and-so church because I thought that's where I'd like to go. Now, I believe that everybody ought to like to go where they go to church, but and they will if it's where the Lord's at. But I believe, and you say, well, how simple can you get? Yeah, but this is a very deep truth. It's the same way with salvation, the same way with the church. Go with me now while we're here on this, and then I'll get to these five qualities, I hope, or five marks. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want us to see this because we're talking about five qualities of a good church member. You said, I didn't know there was such a thing. Yeah, there is such a critter. A good church member. There is such a thing. 1 Corinthians, notice with me there, in verse 12, and there's two verses. Now, I want you to note that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and who we're talking about here in the context is the Corinth, and it's also talking about any of the other of the Lord's churches that have come in existence since Corinth. First chapter tells us that. But look what he says in verse 18. But God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Now, who did Luke say in Acts 2 that adds the church? The Lord. Who does Paul say here when writing to the Corinthian church sets members in the church? What he says here, but now hath God set the members. And he says, every one of them, from the youngest member, I would say that, I was trying to think, I think the youngest member of our church is Leah. Leah Santista, man. I believe she's the youngest. And I wouldn't start to think about who's the oldest. I know. But I wouldn't start to say anything about that. But anyway, I know who the youngest is. And I believe that the Lord set the youngest one in our church just like He set the old one in our church. And I believe that this is a truth that we've got to recognize. What happens today in this, and I'm going to get to it a little later on, but when it comes to salvation or anything to do with the Lord's church, somehow or other people got the idea God ain't got nothing to do with. But He's got everything to do with. Without the Lord, you're not saved. And without the Lord, you're not a member of this church. Can't be saved unless the Lord brings it about, and you can't be a member of His church unless the Lord adds you, or unless the Lord sets you in. I sometimes get real excited. You know, we'll have someone that comes, and I start praying, now, Lord, if it's Your will, save them, and if it's Your will, place them in our church. And so then I'll go. And I'll usually talk to a person about being saved, and I don't say anything about the church. Don't say nothing. I don't say we'd like to have you in our church or anything like that, because if they need to be saved, that needs to be talked about first. That's the first thing needs to be. And then after they're saved by the grace of God and the Lord saves them, then I'll say, now you need to be in one of the Lord's churches where you can be taught and you can be taught the Word of God. And then, I say, if the Lord leads you, and if the Holy Spirit works upon you, you'll know exactly where you ought to be. And the Lord led you, and there ain't no doubt about it. And there won't be any doubt about it in your mind. Now look at verse 28 of that same 1 Corinthians 12. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And why He has said this is because here's the way it works from the very beginning. It is God, the Holy Spirit, that leads and guides and directs men, brings them to salvation. And then it's God, the Holy Spirit, that leads and guides and directs men to the place where you have them, where they can be taught the Word of God and hear the truth. I do know too. But it seems like, for some reason, there's just been a revival in my heart about truth. And the Lord only knows why. He knows why all this happens. But for somehow or other, I've been having more opportunity to talk to people about the truth than I've ever had in my whole lifetime. And I enjoy it. I know there ain't no hog heaven, but I can say I'm in hog heaven. I mean, I know there's not. I know there's not. I mean, I know that. And I realize that, but that's just an old, some kind of expression we use. Country expression. I don't know if it's even country or not. But that we use it. And it's such a blessing. And these truths here, and you know, do you all know what I'm preaching? There's a lot of people don't. And they're in Baptist churches. And they don't have no idea. And they never hear it. Salvation is totally of the Lord. And it's the Lord that adds you to this church. And any other way is no good. It's not any good. Any other way would not be good for you, and it wouldn't be good for this church. But the Lord's way, and the way the Lord does it, it would both be good for this church, and it would bring honor and glory to Him. If the Lord would save you by His grace this morning, and then if the Lord would add you to this New Testament church, this body of Christ. Now, some search for the truth. Some are really searching. I believe there's a famine today in this land in which we live, a famine of the Word of God. I mean, you're right in churches. The truth, there's a famine for it. People are starving today for preaching, for the preaching of the Word of God, that they might hear the truth of the Word of God. And the thing they're starving for is really how that a person is saved, and really how the Lord's church came into existence, how it operates, and how it carries on today. People are starving to death for that. And they're anxious. And so there's some that's searching for the truth, while others are really not searching for it, but the Lord saves them and puts them in. And little do they know what's happening to them. I'm not saying the Lord don't sneak up on them or anything, and we don't sneak up on anything, but the Lord puts them where He wants them, has them where He wants them at the time, He saves them by grace, and then He puts them right in His church. And then they begin to grow. They begin to listen to the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, and they begin to grow and to grow and to grow. And they never get full. And they keep right on growing for the glory of God. Now, first of all, a quality of a good church member is that church member is saved. Saved. You can be saved and not a member of a church. But you can't be a member of the Lord's church and not be saved. Because, first of all, a person must be saved by the grace of God. And people have misunderstood us through the years. When we teach like we are in Sunday school about the Lord's church, and when I preach about the Lord's church and it's the bride of Christ, then people come somehow or other with the idea that you all think nobody can be saved but you all. That's not what we believe. And that's not what we teach. And that's not what the Bible teaches. When we teach church truth, we're not teaching salvation. Because church truth has nothing to do with salvation. Being a member of a church has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is totally different from church of membership or being in one of the Lord's church. It's totally different entity. It's a different thing. We're talking about one that has been saved by the grace of God. In other words, what's happened is this. The Lord has either taken them to the gospel. They sometimes, you know how He does that? You know, sometimes as a young person, teenager, you get struck on this girl or this boy, and you don't know. All you're interested in is the girl and the boy, but what the Lord's doing is putting you in church. He's putting you somewhere where you can hear the gospel, and He puts you there, and then the Lord then reveals the Word of God to you and reveals His condition to you and saves you by His marvelous grace. The means that He does that, you didn't have that in mind at all. All you had in mind was courting. I reckon we called it courting. It was 40 or something that we
saw it from the Word of God.
That's all you had in mind. But what the Lord had in mind was to get you up and preaching the gospel. To where you could hear, to where you could hear that you're a sinner. To where you could hear that there's a Savior. And that you as a sinner needed a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ.
And then He brought you to the place to where you repent of your sins and you trust Jesus Christ as the person of heaven. Now that changes your whole outlook. That changes everything. Your whole outlook. And then, that has to happen first. And then, and only after that, then will you have a desire for the Word of God and want to hear the truth of God's Word and want to be taught God's Word. You know why I believe, and I'm convinced, that a lot of people are not interested in God's Word and they're in churches is because they're not saved. If people are saved by the grace of God, I don't care how backslidden you get, there's still a desire for the Word of God and a thirsting for the Word of God, and you'll never get away from it. It'll always be there. I don't care how far away you can get away from the Lord. It'll always be there. You can't get rid of it because you're saved. And nothing else under the sun will satisfy you but the Word of God and the things of God. That's all that'll ever satisfy. I talked to a fellow last night. I talked to him about this. And he's out of the will of the Lord. Well, no home. And I could cry. Lord just laid him on my heart. He ain't got no listed telephone number, but I dug it up. But the Lord gave it to me. And I talked to him. He said, you know, I love you. I'm concerned about you. Talk about doing this and that. And I said, now you know Donnie didn't look possible unless you put the Lord first. You're talking about making probably $60,000 or $70,000 this year. And I said, now listen, you know as well as I do, you ain't going to prosper without the will of the Lord. No. You know you're saved by the grace of God. And you know that it's not going to be that way. He said, yeah, I know it. He said, I know what you're saying. He said, I appreciate it. And he asked about Joe Michael and he asked about Abram. People in the church and had so and so been saved and this and that. So, you see, you can't get away from it, folks. You can't get away from it. When you're saved by the grace of God and when the Lord's put you where the truth is, you've been taught the truth, you can go anywhere. You can go to Australia, you can go to China, you can go to Japan, but you can't get away from it. You can't get away from the presence of Almighty God. So, the first quality of any good church member is to be saved by the grace of God. To be saved. I'll tell you, there's nothing that can take the place of it. And there's nothing like it. And I know one thing. When the Lord saves a person in this church, they may not know truth and they may not believe some things, but I believe that they will. They will. It may take time. It may not be done in a year. It may not be done in 2 years. But over a period of time, if they will consistently and are saved by the grace of God and member of this church, if you'll consistently pray and read your Bible and study, God will bring you to the truth and lead you to the truth. And regardless of how hard the doctrine is, you'll hear it and you'll believe it and you'll be convicted of it. You know what I based it on? John 10:27. That's what I based that on. John chapter 10, and there in verse 27. Listen to what it says. I'm so thankful for this. When people tell me, now I don't believe that. I know it's just a matter of time. If they'll stick around. If they leave, there's no hope for them. But if they'll stick around. I mean 10 years or 12 maybe. Or it may take 15 years. If they'll stick around, the Lord will bring it to them. But I'm going to preach it. And the Lord will bring it. Look at John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. Now look at this. I know them. Here's this. And they follow me. Now the Word of God is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the doctrines of the Word of God I told a Sunday school class this morning, we was talking about the qualifications of the two offices of the church. And I think, you know, today there's a lot of churches, even Baptist churches, that are putting people in there that don't qualify, don't meet these qualifications. And if they ask you, said, what do you think about it? Here's all you've got to say. It's not scriptural. That's all you've got to say. And then if they say, well, why isn't it? Then that opens the door. Then you can tell them why it is not scriptural. And I'll tell you that God don't leave people to do things that's contrary to His Word, because His Word is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us, telling us what to do and how to conduct ourselves. And I'll tell you, they not only are known of Him, not only do they hear His voice and He knows them, but they follow Me. The problem is, it's old, found over many times, and it can be this. It's found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, this is not always the problem, but this can be the problem. Because I'm dealing with a quality of a good church member is one that's saved. Now, a person's not saved, they will reject every doctrine that you preach. I mean, the easy things, perhaps they will say, well, I agree with that, 1 Corinthians 2:14. They say, I agree with that. But then when you come down to hard things that they've got to knuckle down under, or something that affects them, or affects their family, or affects their wife, or affects their husband, or affects their children, then they'll say, I don't believe that. But here could be the problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man, that's the man that has... That's the old soulish man. That's the man that God's never quickened, made alive the things of God, never regenerated. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Do you ever have somebody that don't even profess Christ, that even denies God, try to tell you what the Bible says? I run into that all the time. You know, when you name a subject or somebody asks you a question, and before you can answer them back, that person sitting there that don't even profess God tells them what the Bible says about it. But they don't know. That's what it says here. Neither can they know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And the way and the reason that people that are saved by the grace of God and added to the New Testament church, the reason they can come to truth and the reason they can hear doctrine is because they have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs the prayer. I just thought, when I think about this yesterday, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, the Lord has added some people to our church that have come from other groups, and I know that it's a complete turnabout, and I thought to myself, don't get shook up. None of you don't get shook up about this, but I thought, now I'll just go sit down with them and just say, now what has the Lord taught you? And he says, our church, is there anything different the Lord has taught you? And you all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about to you. So, and I was thinking about, now what has the Lord taught you? You know, what do you have now? What have you learned now by the Spirit of God? What have you learned? Saved by the grace. You put saved people by the grace of God where the truth is, and they'll hear the truth and they'll follow. There's a lot of saved people that are where the truth is not. And you can't follow truth if you don't hear it. If it's not taught, even though you're saved by the grace of God, you can't. But you put saved people that have been saved by the grace of God, you put them where the Lord put them where, in one of His churches where truth is taught and preached. And they'll hear it. It'll become their conviction. And they'll follow it. And they'll heed it. And they'll put it into practice in their life. But the first mark is a person that is saved by the grace of God. Now, and eventually, over a period of time, it may be their whole lifetime, they'll separate themselves from the world. From the time God saves them to the time that He comes, they will progressively set themselves apart from the world. That's the first quality. Now, the second quality of a good church member is faithful. Now, the first word is saved, and the second word is faithful. Now, real faithfulness is a rarity. Now, I believe that it has to be like this.
I believe there has to be, I believe you have to be faithful in the home. Now, instead of the attitude that we have many times, and all of us get caught up in this, so having this attitude, well, I don't know if we're going to like it or not, and you know, what the heck is going on here? I need to get away. You know, my hair's standing up. I need to get away, and whoo, I'm about to die. You know, now I know how y'all live and how I live and how everybody lives. And I know how you think. I think like you think, and you think like I think. And I know how it is. Instead of being that way, you want to be faithful, commitment made. And the thing that God has given you. When you married your wife, what did you expect? Don't tell me. And when you married your husband, what did you expect? Your wife is your wife and your husband is your husband. And it'll always be that way. And it'll always be that way. But the thing that today that is very dominant, that should be dominant, is that it is faithful. So what if your wife nags a little?
I know she ought not to.
But I mean, so what? Does that give you any reason to be unfaithful? None. So what if your husband's not the most loving fellow you ever met, or the most easygoing fellow you ever met? So what? You married him. What should you be? Faithful. And it should work the same way between the parents and the children and the parents. And it begins at home, and then it goes over to the school. You know what you've got? You know, in order to get an education, you know what you got to do? You got to go to school. I mean, you got to go. You can't get an education at home. I mean, if your parents teach you, you can, but I mean, sitting at home with no school to know, you got to go, you got to be faithful. We've even got one fella that's got a bicycle for a tent.
Comes to our church.
Now, I thought that was real good. I saw that the first thing. I saw his name of prayer. And I said, that's real good. Not just the day of school. Well, I can think of a lot of things. Times that I think that, you know, well, I'm not really feeling as good as I ought to this morning. You know, I don't believe I'll go. I can think of a lot of things, you know, and things that you can imagine, think of. And it's all a matter of getting there and being there. And then I believe faithful not only in the home and in the school, but I believe faithful at work. You know, when they argue, you know what they expect you to do? Be there. And then when you're there, you know what they expect you to do? Work! It's a sad, discouraging thing to hear people bragging about how they got out of doing any work. You know what that is? Sin! If you're saved by the grace of God, it's sin! I know my grandsons are going to get, they're going to get fed up with me to say this. I keep saying, do the best you can. Do more than you're supposed to. Do extra. You know what the rest of the plan will do? They'll run you out. My son-in-law is an electrician, a trade, and he went to the other aluminum place there in Richmond that melts it down, and he went in there and he worked, and the rest of them told him,
slow down. Slow down, get ready to look bad. Slow down.
He told him, he said, Lordy mercy, if I stayed up for a year, I'd be as lazy as they are. But you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about faithful. And then I believe it all comes down to the Lord's church. Real faithfulness is a rarity. Today is a day of lukewarmness. Today is a day of a lot of sin church age. And all of the pastors we meet, like seven or eight of us, we met Friday night here, are more than we meet. And pour our hearts out to the Lord, and every one of them has the same thing upon their heart. Lord, there's so much apathy, there's so much complacency, and people won't be faithful. Day and time in which that we live. But I believe one of the marks of a good church member is that church member is faithful unless providentially hindered. And there are times, there'll be enough times that you'll be providentially hindered. There'll be times you'll be sick and can't come. There'll be times that things will come up. And so it is a good quality. It's a good mark. Now what is happening, and this is no excuse, but it's sad to say this is the truth of the whole matter. Matthew chapter 24. And I believe this describes the day in which we live, Matthew 24. And there in verse 12, and it says this, "And because iniquity shall abound," that's where we are. The result of that is this, "the love of many shall wax cold." Now if your love is waxing cold, the reason your love is waxing cold is because iniquity is abounding. There's much iniquity around you. There's much iniquity in the world. And many times we can get caught up in this. And so you can read of that Laodicea in church age over there in Revelation 3, 14 through 22. And you know, what good? And I think many times, you know, people are not faithful to the church. And then when they come, they got their mind on everything else but being at the house of the Lord. I told a lady yesterday, we were discussing the Bible, and I said, "Now, I don't preach sermonettes. If you come to where I preach, your roast might burn. You better not turn it on. Because I don't preach sermonettes. I preach the Word of God. I preach sermons. I preach the Word of God. And really, when we come to the house of the Lord, our mind ought to be on worshiping the Lord. And it ought to be on the Word of God. We need to get back to those days. Got so much instant coffee and instant tea and instant pudding, and we want instant church. But I believe that God's people have a thirsting and they have a hunger for the Word of God. And one of the things I believe, faithfulness. Now, faithfulness concerns your time. You know, you've got to make some preparations to come to church. I believe you have to start preparing. You prepare all week, but especially you have to prepare on Saturday. You better. Or if you don't, you'll come to church and you won't really be in it. You won't really enjoy it. And you've got to make some preparations to go to bed on Saturday night to get up on Sunday morning. And it would be a good idea. Now, I'm not trying to tell you all the boss you what to do. But it would be a good idea to either cook something or have some sandwiches. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But I'm just telling you about how to prepare for to come to the Lord's house the Lord's day. What I'm talking about. And then it not only faithfulness involves time, but it also involves your talents. Singing. And being able to teach the Word of God. And to pray. These are abilities and talents that God gives us to be used for His honor and glory. But it not only, faithfulness not only involves our time, our talents, but it also involves our time. I want to tell you a little humorous thing. It's real. My youngest granddaughter, Jerry will pay the girl to work. Now, he does that to disorder. Those girls work. I mean, they work. They work at the house, and they work, you know, they go work and do the things. Emily taught them this, and Jerry just stick for them that. And so, he's paying, Heather, $15 is working day. And so their mama said, now girls, this don't mean you sit down and goof off and loaf. When you're being paid to work, you work. You work all day. So then when Heather got her $15, then Emily was going to give her lesson number two. She said, "Now, Heather, you ought to tithe." And Heather said, "How much would that be?" She said, "$1. And they said, "Whoo wee, $1 and a half." And I think she sort of thought of something. Well, I'm not saved, and I thought, that sounds just like a bunch of Baptist church members that for years that's robbed the Lord and stole His money. And you know, $1 and a half. And I thought that was good. I just had to tell that or burst one. I thought that was good because
Being faithful, that's where it begins with your children. Right when they're young. Teaching them to be faithful. Right when they're young. These children, they can tithe as well as adults. They can tithe on their allowance. They can tithe on money that they get from mowing yards. They can tithe on any money that they receive or they get. Because, really, that's where faithfulness begins. Being taught when you're a child. And the parents ought to be the one that sets the example and then to teach the children also. Until you give the tithes and offerings, you haven't given anything. Until you're giving your tithes, you haven't given anything. Because it belongs to the Lord. Listen to what Jesus said about this when he wrote over in the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew, and there in verse 21. Now look at it. There was a couple that purchased a puppy from me. And I said this to them. I always try to talk to them about the church thing. I said, well, the state gets 6%. The state gets 6%. And I said, and the church gets 10%. She said, what in the world has the church got to do with this dog? I said, tithe! And her husband said, honey, tithe. Honey, that's a tithe. That's what, honey, it's a tithe. I said, 16% gone before I ever touch it. It's gone. 16% of it. Gone. Some people said, well, I wouldn't pay no tax on that. You wouldn't? Watch out now. And the ones who won't pay the tax won't pay the tithe either. But look what Jesus said. Look what he said in Matthew 22 and 21. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then, that is what the inscription is on that coin. He said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And you're just as responsible to do the one as to do the other. And they're both to be law-abiding, God-fearing citizens. Someone told me, he said, well, I stick that cash money in my pocket. I do. That's where it goes. It goes in my pocket. But 6 cents of it goes to Jones, and 10 cents of it goes to God. Even though it's in my pocket. I'm talking about the qualities of a good church member. A good church member is one that is a law-abiding citizen, loves the Lord, loves the country that he lives in, loves his church, and gives of his time, gives of his talent, and gives of his time. Quality of a good church member. And I smell the roast already burning. But I'm going to do this right quick. The other quality is a good student. Good at work. The other one is a good witness. And the other one is love. One of the greatest qualities of a good church member is love. I try to always thank the Lord this way. Lord, I want to thank you for the church that you've placed me in, the love they have for you, the love they have for the Word of God, the love they have for me, and the love you've given me for them. Amen. And I believe that's one of the greatest qualities of any church member is love that God has shed abroad in your heart to work. That love will cover a multitude of sins. And love will cause me and cause you, even though that you maybe have rubbed us the wrong way, will cause us to have compassion and put our arms around you and say, I love you. These are the five. Saved, faithful, a good witness, a good student, and love. These are the five qualities of a good church member.
And the Lord has to be the one that places them, every one there. From the beginning to the end, all five of these. Now you're judged by these five too.
First of all, men judge. If you identify with this church, if you say you're saved from this church, everybody that knows that is going to judge you, and they're going to look at these five things. They're going to look at your salvation. They're going to look at how faithful you are. They're going to look at what kind of a witness you are. They're going to look at what kind of a student you are.